I'd say at this point, we're trying to go all in. We're over 4 million players now. The Polkadot ecosystem is really great for that.
How far are we away from Polkadot being ready?
Jumping way ahead on what I'm supposed to be talking about.
Okay, this is just... The launch team wishes you good luck and Godspeed. Space Monkeys, blasting off with John Linden, the CEO of Mythical Games. Lots of exciting action happening since last time we got to speak. I think it was in May in Lugano.
Lugano, that's
yeah,
right.
That was pretty cool. We're going to link that below so everybody can get caught up on who John is. But we just have a few minutes now to catch up. John, welcome back to the show.
Yeah,
welcome
thanks
to the
me.
Show. Nice
Thank
to have you,
you
here. Yeah. Quick update on the games out by Mythical right now.
Yeah.
Blancos, NFL Rivals, and I think you...
Nitro Nation as well is
Nitro
in Nation's soft launch.
Coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I download it now?
You can. It's actually, it's on the app stores. We're not promoting it too heavy yet.
Right.
So we're working through kind of the final KPIs to make sure it's in place before we really start putting the marketing spin behind it. But it's
nice.
Getting close to, I think it's over 500,000 players already. So
Holy
just in the soft
crap.
Launch, which
what,
is good.
What are some stats on the other games?
I mean, since I talked to you, NFL's taken off. So I think we're over 4 million players now. Still in that heyday right now. And
yeah.
It's been growing really, really strong month over month. So very, very happy with that. I think it actually makes it the largest Web3 game ever at this point. So
I think we've
now outpaced even Axie, I think, in its heyday. So,
well, just to catch people up, everybody playing NFL Rivals, they have a wallet on the back and they may or may not know about it.
Yeah.
But some of them do. How many have?
So about, I think we're closing on 20%, which is actually, I think, quite higher than we thought, which is good. So basically, every player comes in, they get kind of a guest wallet, and currently EVM, soon will be Substrate. But basically, everybody comes in and they get a kind of a temporary wallet.
Sure.
And then we basically, at some point when they want it more permanent, if they want to actually use the marketplace or sell, they have to create an actual wallet that they control. And at that point, it automatically transfers everything from the temporary over and kind of destroys the old one. So,
okay, this is news to me because you have an EVM chain that you're privately running right now, but you are going to switch to a Substrate chain or EVM on Substrate?
We're actually moving full Substrate now.
No way.
So, we're working through that. I think we're going to keep the EVM address space for compatibility.
Makes sense, yeah.
But we're working hard at it right now. So yeah, we're working to try and get the entire system over. We're kind of, I'd say at this point, we're trying to go all in. So
on your presentation, you were talking about, we're going to stick with just the markets conversation real quick, talking about these quick swaps. Want to tell us a little bit about
quick trades?
Tell us a bit about that.
So it's a kind of a feature we launched last year as a test into our dmarket.com. So dmarket's kind of like our OpenSea for game items. You can really trade anything from CSGO skins to could trade NFTs, really anything you want.
Wow.
And we tested it out last year. And for us, I'm very proud of this feature because I think the team has come up with, I think, the ultimate combination of gaming utility with a Web3 economy. And what I mean by that is if you've ever played EverQuest or World of Warcraft, you know, generally you go up to somebody in the game, you want to trade, there's two inventories show up. So this is what I want to receive and this is what I want to give, right?
Yeah.
And that's a very common gaming mechanic. With Web3, it's a lot about bids and floors and asks and all this to collection values. And and that's not a traditional gaming, you know, kind of mantra, right?
Yeah.
So what we've kind of married the two together. So literally now I can go into the market and I'll use NFL Rivals. I see Patrick Mahomes, right? And there's been two options so far. You could either buy Patrick Mahomes. Let's say he's $450 US. I could put on my credit card. I could pay in crypto. I could buy that asset. Or I can make an offer. And that offer goes out to everybody that has that asset. Say, hey, I only want to pay $375, right?
Yeah.
Those have been kind of the two options we had introduced into Mythical. Now what happens is now I can trade for him. So what'll happen is he comes in, I say, hey, I want to trade for Mahomes, or I could trade for multiples. It'll total up the value in real time based on the liquidity that's happening in that real time moment and say, cool, $450. And then the right side, you can start putting your NFTs you don't want anymore. And it's real time pricing them as well. So let's say I start putting in some maybe lower value ones. I put in 5 different NFTs on this side, and it totals up $450, right?
Yeah.
At that point, I can say, you know, trade. And I receive that item, and I get rid of those 5 items. And essentially, I had a cashless transaction, right? I received something, and they gave out something, and I didn't pay anything. In reality, what's happening behind the scenes is we basically real-time bought Patrick Mahomes from one seller, and we real-time sold these 5 NFTs real-time to 5 other buyers.
Okay.
So it's using all on-chain kind of Web3 concepts but it's a very, very easy thing for gamers to understand. So we rolled that out to D-Market. It's now 80% of all revenue comes from that feature. So we just rolled it out at the end of December, right before the holidays, to NFL. It's been a really great start. We're now actually looking to bring it into the game itself, and we're working with Apple and Google to bring it fully into the game. So it's exciting times. Like, these are the types of things we've been wanting to get to. Once you have that foundational layer, then you can start doing the real, real advanced trading and liquidity type measures for gamers.
You're not just taking technologies that the NFT games have been trying to build and putting it into your game. You're actually innovating.
Yeah, that's the plan, right? That's the plan. Is really, you know, I think at this point we've now seen a few games and we see what works, we see what doesn't work, and we're really kind of being able to kind of build off of that. But then we're taking game concepts, more and more game concepts, and there's a lot more we want to try in the future. But you know, kind of just innovating off of that too and seeing what's working. And then obviously we bring that to other games as well. So
now you said marketplace is one aspect. You also mentioned social and distribution. Do you want to give just a quick alpha on what you're thinking there?
You're jumping way ahead on what I'm supposed to be talking about.
Okay, this is light.
You know, I think that gaming and Web3 has traditionally been, I'd say, is, you know, 99% has been marketplaces, you know, digital ownership, buying and selling items, which is great. And we love that business and we think it's very transformative for the industry. So we're seeing great numbers off of that. But I think there's two additional areas we'd like to kind of focus on, you know, and kind of work through Mythos and now Polkadot as well to really kind of go further. I think social is very interesting. You know, one thing we've seen for a long time, it's why the Discords have kind of popped up. Before that, it was TeamSpeak. I mean, there's been a lot of social applications for gaming in the past.
Yeah.
And the reason those pop up is that traditionally when players are playing the game, they want to play the game, you know, but now there's so many more things you can do. You can trade, you can be in the market, you can chat with your friends, you know, you can discover new games, you can watch live streamers or become a spectator of a game.
Sure.
And we think that there's an opportunity to kind of go into a decentralized world using this. And frankly, we have obviously self-interest as well. We want to keep you in that ecosystem. We want you to have that pulse of the game when you're in or out and be able to interact with other players and do marketplace type deals or do community tournaments and things like that you might not be doing in the game. So when I go back into the game, I focus on the game. So that's kind of our view there. We're experimenting right now, I'd say. We have a few little prototypes, but it's something we're very serious about. And I think you'll see more information about that hopefully before too terribly long. On kind of a second tier. And then the third tier, as you mentioned, was what we started with, Polystream. We have that actually testing live with two companies right now, which is very exciting. One's kind of a MOBA and one's an open world. Both happen to be Web3 economies.
Wow.
Needs a little bit more time. So I think we're kind of really kind of building up some distribution partners on that. We're really kind of focused on optimizing that. And I think we'll see more of a launch of that next year. So 2025.
And this is kind of like an alternative to the idea of streaming games,
yeah,
right?
It's I mean, the best way I'd put it right now is cloud gaming is I think the future. Cloud gaming is stupidly expensive because you're basically dedicating a dedicated GPU per player in the cloud.
What was the cost on that?
I mean, they run about $250 an hour right now because of things like LLMs and generative AI and you know, stable diffusion models and all that type of stuff. Everybody's clamoring for these GPUs. But the reality is you generally are running on a device that has a GPU. So what the Polystream does is it's kind of this patented tech that we acquired a couple of years ago. And the idea behind it is basically move almost the GPU to the edge, right? So you hear about edge computing, and this is almost like edge GPU. So basically, we're running the games in the cloud, we're outputting the draw call data in a compressed and machine learning format to the local GPU, and using the power of the local GPU on your PC or Mac to render that real time. So we can basically do cloud gaming with commodity hardware in the cloud and not have to have these expensive GPUs. So it brings down the cost by, you know, 98% or something like that, which is crazy. So,
beautiful.
Yeah.
Mythical coming over to Polkadot, being secured by Polkadot.
Yep.
I mean, it's big news in the ecosystem. Yep. Everybody's excited about it.
Yep.
We're wondering when it's going to happen, of course, as well. We just saw that, what did you call it? Muse,
yeah.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, so we wanted to put up a test chain. We thought, you know, we wanted to rename that a little bit and kind of keep in the Mythos ecosystem.
No, it's cool.
And it's not really, again, this is really more of a Mythos initiative than a Mythical initiative. We're assisting. So that's one big thing that's going to be shifting, is we are now kind of going from this kind of proof of authority, closely held, we run the node, you know, kind of side chain, EVM side chain.
Yeah.
So we're basically scrapping that. So there will no longer be a Mythical chain, and we're replacing that with the Mythos chain, which is a true L1 now, powered by, you know, secured and kind of run by the Polkadot ecosystem. So very excited about that. To me, it's the next step in really making sure that Mythos is decentralized.
Yeah.
And I think the Polkadot ecosystem is really great for that. So we're very excited about that. The first step is a test chain. So we called it Muse. So it's I think the, our internal nickname is Unleash Inspiration. And basically that's the idea, is that that'll be our playground for anybody really developing over time. Mm-hmm. And then you can kind of eventually migrate it over to the Mythos chain when you're ready.
How far are we away from Polkadot being ready for the application, for the use case of running these games?
We're months, but we're aiming for the first half of the year. Now, obviously, we're working very closely with Parity. We're working very closely with a lot of groups there. So there's a lot of work to do, because we basically have to get the chain up. We have to get it configured. We're looking at all the new governance for the DAO, and Mythos is kind of looking at, you know, is things like staking and things like that. You know, how do we basically incorporate that into the tokenomics?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that happening. So there's a lot of kind of foundational work that we're making sure is right. And then there's kind of setting up the chain, getting all the collators correct, and then also getting everything migrated, which, you know, we kind of have an airplane flying right now. We're going to try and replace the engine in the air. So it takes a little bit of time. We do about 4 million transactions a month right now. So we don't want that to go bad. So I think we're taking our time. It is coming. I think you'll see some more announcements soon, hopefully. But we are working very closely with the Parity group and getting that out the door.
Is the tech ready, though, for this?
It's getting there. Okay. I think this is one of the probably people have seen a little challenging with Polkadot, is there's a lot of crazy initiatives, you know, and that's what we love. I love seeing the inspiration. I love hearing Gav and everybody talk about where we're going.
Yeah.
But timelines are a little, you know, mysterious sometimes. So we're working through making sure we're doing that, and we're making sure we have it in place. So
how's Apple feeling about this? How, you know, your gaming partners feeling about this move?
You know, it's interesting. Apple and Google don't really care.
No,
at the end of the day, they just, because we hide a lot of that. We abstract a lot of that through, you know, SDKs and things like that.
Yeah.
Game partners, frankly, can just use the SDK. So we have kind of a layer, we call it Saga, which sits over the top of our chain.
I see.
That same Saga SDK is basically an updated. So the games don't really have to shift, and automatically it'll kind of move to that new chain. So we've tried to abstract that as much as we can from the game layer.
Yeah.
So you get all the functionality. And there's some additional functionality we put in there, like a reservation system and things like that, to really adheres to Apple and Google policies.
Sure.
But so that it should be a good transition, kind of knock on wood, right? They don't seem to care as much. We have had some groups that are like, why Polkadot? You know, and we kind of were explaining that. You know, we love the on-chain governance. We love the staking kind of protocols built in. We love this concept of pallet systems. We love the tech is super advanced. And we're getting them comfortable with that. But honestly, I don't think we're going to have any major issues there once we're live and up. So
gorgeous. Once you do have it up, people, they acquire the Myth token, not for speculative purposes. How else is the Myth token going to unlock opportunity? Yeah.
Well, I'd say everything you heard about those other projects will definitely be based on that as well.
Okay.
We're also seeing a really interesting phenomenon. And I put out a paper recently called Natural Staking, which is, you know, we made up the term. But basically what we're seeing right now is I think Myth, just NFL Rivals right now, is essentially kind of locking, I'm using quotes here, locking about 1 million tokens a month into the chain. And what I mean by that is that gaming, they don't take the money out very often, right? Sure. And the reason they don't is because they're utilizing it, right? They're utilizing it in the ecosystem. So I think right now, I think for every dollar that comes into our marketplace tech, so that's usually fiat coming in, they're buying fiat to end up getting this kind of tokens behind the scenes to purchase, only like 24% or something like that's ever leaving at this point. It was last year, it was like 65% was retained, and now it's like 76, 78%. So,
right.
So basically what we're seeing there, and it's really interesting, so that all these tokens are getting locked up naturally, and these balances, and people just aren't getting rid of them. So we almost will have a couple different effects on that token over time, which is one, is there'll be a staking component for people that want to kind of secure and be part of the, you know, back and back to collators and things like that. But then there's also going to be this just natural effect of the games that are kind of making the token more scarce over time. And I think we're seeing more and more of that now too, because people are not just, again, gamers are not in this for profit, right? Some might be, if they make, great, but that's not the primary focus. It is a true utility token, right? I'm using this to kind of move assets in and out. I need this player and this is my currency to kind of do it. So we're doing a lot of that. Even things like quick trades is starting to get really interesting, because right now it's locked within a game. But we have a design we're going to be rolling out later this year to where I can now say, hey, I want Patrick Mahomes that I used before, and I want to get rid of 2 Blancos, right?
Yeah.
So eventually, you can do it between games as well. So it becomes a really cool network effect to where the more assets I have kind of locked in the Polkadot ecosystem, the more I could technically trade in and out. So we're really excited, and I think that's just going to increase that utility more and more and more. So there's a lot of uses of it. I think there's great tokenomics of why we're doing it.
Sweet.
And it's plan out. So,
wow, got a lot more questions for you, but let's hang that up for now. Okay,
we'll
I know you got to go.
We'll do it more soon.
Thank you very much for coming
on. Thank you so much,
okay,
man.
We'll talk to you soon.